Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 7:21. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. So I was asking you a little bit earlier what you thought about daylight saving. Should South Africa implement it? Would we be able to manage it? Anton says the ANC won't organize daylight saving because there's nothing to steal. Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. I didn't mean it to go in that direction. South Africa definitely needs daylight saving. This is according to Marco. Kids and elderly traveling with public transport to and from work in the darkness, especially during blackouts, as well as a high crime rate. So I think those are absolutely valid. And we wanted to talk about that with Bianca Nogredi. She's our freelance science journalist. She's an author, broadcaster, and she joins us this morning. Bianca, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Howard. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So ahead of our discussion, I was asking our listeners about daylight saving because South Africa, we don't use it, we don't implement it, and we really, as one of our listeners just said, from a crime perspective, and also the fact that people in South Africa often are traveling quite far distances to work. It might help them safety wise from a crime perspective later. Obviously, it really shifts it. So I'm not sure that it does. And that's what I wanted to ask you is there research around daylight saving that talks to these things?
Well, it's interesting. There's not so much research as a lot of kind of, I guess, anecdotal evidence or evidence from, you know, places where I guess it's been put on and then taken off. But even there, it's such a complicated thing to try and work out, you know, what influence it has on for example, exposure to crime. But I mean, it's funny looking at, because in Australia, we have some states have daylight saving and some don't. And so it's very confusing.
That is confusing. We couldn't cope with that here in South Africa. We'd fall apart. Yeah, there's no question.
I don't think we cope very well with it either. We have like four different time zones in Australia, and some of them have daylight saving, some of them don't. So, and plus we're upside down like you guys. So that obviously makes
sense. Right, exactly.
But, I mean, it's funny about even just looking into the origins of daylight saving. There's a number of different stories about where and when it started. You know, it might have been first proposed by a New Zealander in the late 1800s, but then maybe it started first in Canada in 1908, or Germany and Austria in 1916, the US in 1918. It's all over the place. And in Australia, for example, it was introduced during summer in parts of World War I and World War II. So that was brought in, but then it was rolled back. And so it actually didn't become a permanent fixture in, for example, New South Wales, the state where I live. It didn't start until the 1970s. And the idea is that it is supposed to be a way to take advantage of the longer daytime in summer, particularly in the morning. And look, there are biological reasons to justify daylight saving, or arguments to be made. So, for example, we know that morning sunlight is really important for human health. It kind of wakes you up, it gets you going, it sets your circadian rhythm, your body clock. And so when we have daylight saving, we are better aligning, you know, our clock-driven schedules with that change in sunrise times. But, I mean, for example, even in the US right now, there's been a law proposed called the Sunshine Protection Act, which is so American.
So American.
I know, it just made me laugh when I saw that. And that would look to actually lock in daylight saving all year round. Now, that was done before. So Richard Nixon, the US President Richard Nixon, actually introduced that in the 1970s, partly because he was trying to deal with this ongoing gas crisis and it was trying to make the most of sunlight. But, you know, it actually became quite unpopular after a while. I think people liked it in summer, but then, funnily enough, not so much in winter. And, you know, there are people who are opposed to it because they say that, you know, if you have it all year round, then it stays light too far into the evening, so people have trouble falling asleep. And then, as you said, in the morning, you've got people getting up and going to school and going to work in the dark. And particularly, you know, if you've got teenagers, which I do, it's hard enough getting them out of bed even when it's light, let alone getting them out of bed when it's dark. And does it increase the risk of car accidents and drowsy people. So there's not a lot of hard evidence for or against, which I think is why we have so many different approaches to this around the world.
In general, I would imagine, though, that it does save on energy costs and energy consumption in a country like South Africa, where we have a constrained electricity supply situation. I would imagine that just staying awake longer would be helpful. Also, many of us, in fact, probably an incredible amount of people in South Africa have moved to solar energy, renewable energy. That also would be of benefit because you're still producing energy in the latter part of your active day when you've already come home from work, rather than coming home and then relying on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, where I am in Australia, obviously, I guess a lot of sunshine, similar to South Africa. We have a lot of sun exposure and we have increasing reliance on solar energy. But it does make more sense to have to shift things so that we can make the most of the daylight hours in the evening. It gives you more time to get stuff done. And I mean, there's a counter argument to this, which is rather than change the clocks, why don't we change our schedules? Why not have, for example, school start later? And I mean, that's a whole other argument. Why don't we work 4 days a week, is a spin-off argument of that one. But I think it is also depending on, different age groups. Some people, I mean, myself, I'm an early riser. I like getting up in the dark because no one
Yeah, me
else is
too.
awake and it's quiet. But
100%. Yeah, I don't want to
yeah.
share that time with other people. Well, I
No,
guess I
no.
do actually, now that I think about it. So that was a bit of a silly statement. Okay, we don't have a lot of time, but I do want to ask you, are big feet shaped differently to little feet?
Yes, they are. And I was very relieved to discover this because I'm a little person and I'm married to a very big person. And I clump around the house like a heffalump and he walks around like a cat. And I've never understood what that difference is. But
Yeah,
it
that's
turns
so
out that
interesting.
bigger feet are not just a scaling up of smaller feet, that the actual bones, some of the major bones in the ankle, are more square and slightly differently shaped. And the idea is that it's a kind of an adaptation to help sort of share the load of carrying this bigger frame around. But I mean, I hope it may help me understand how my husband paces around the house and I can't hear him, whereas he can hear me coming a mile away.
That is so funny. That is where we leave it. Fascinating conversation, as always, Bianca Nogrady. She is our science communicator, talking about all things very, very interesting. What do you think about daylight saving and big feet and little feet? Join us in conversation on 061-895-1019. It has gone 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.